NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Paddy Hirsch. Today, we're going to talk about the UK.
Your home country.
Well, I don't know. Northern Ireland's my home country. Is Northern Ireland still part of the UK?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
Technically, according to Wikipedia.
Here today, potentially gone tomorrow. Anyway, it's hot in the UK right now. 100 degrees. There's talk of a national emergency. But we're not here to talk about the weather, Darian. We're here to talk about another national emergency, the British economy.
Yeah, the UK is struggling with a whole laundry list of issues. Inflation is at 9.1% and rising. Economists reckon it could hit 11% later this year. Government debt is at more than £2 trillion, which is 90% of GDP. The pound itself is taking a hammering, and it's now at a two-year low against the dollar.
Strikes, wage stagnation, sluggish growth, low productivity, widening inequality, an aging population. The UK is in dire economic straits. And a lot of this has to do with stuff we're all dealing with, right? Fallout from the pandemic, price hikes from the war in Ukraine. But the UK appears to be having a particularly hard time of it.
On today's show, we will explain why that is and how come the UK economy is in such a parlous state and what the country's next Prime Minister will have to deal with when he or she takes over from Boris Johnson. Boris, of course, resigned his office after a cabinet revolt last week. That's all coming up after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, a platform that makes investing in high-end real estate easy. You tell Fundrise your investing goals, and Fundrise puts your money into the real estate deals that are right for you. Sign up for free at fundrise.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Burrow. They replace trips to the furniture store with fast, free shipping directly to your door. Don't worry about stockouts. Their warehouse is chock full of new designs. Take $75 off your order at burrow.com/indicator.
A lot of what ails the British economy can be laid at the door of the two big recent events that have affected every economy in the world, like the pandemic, which slowed much of the global economy down, and the war in Ukraine that has stoked inflation worldwide.
It's the same in the UK as in most places, in the sense that it's the energy price shocks and other commodity shocks, so food prices, petrol prices, electricity bills, all going up.
Diane Coyle is an economist and professor of public policy at Cambridge University. She says that rising costs inevitably hamper an economy. First, people spend less, so companies make less money. Second, central banks increase interest rates, which reduces borrowing and slows everything from the housing market to corporate expansion.
But it's not just the rising cost of groceries and fuel due to the war in Ukraine that's throttling the UK right now. Housing and the cost of operating a business are also getting more expensive. And, you know, you can't blame that on the Russians.
Diane points to a number of issues affecting the economy that are specific to the UK. So first, the labour market. On the surface, things look pretty healthy, like in the US. Unemployment is low and the labour market is hot, which should give workers the upper hand when it comes to negotiating pay. But wages in the UK have stagnated over the last decade.
We've had a labour market that has created plentiful jobs, but a lot of them have been quite low quality jobs, gig economy, warehouse type jobs, and workers in those don't have a lot of bargaining power, so they can't bid up their wages.
Part of the UK's labour problem derives from the country's very expensive housing market. A desperate shortage of housing drives rent costs up, and it makes it hard for workers to move around the country. Diane says that lack of mobility is really bad for Britain.
It means that your economy becomes much less flexible. So as new demands emerge or new areas of growth become possible, it's very hard to get the labour supply response that you would need to those.
So it's this chicken and egg situation. Mm. Businesses won't set up in an area if there aren't enough houses for its workers to move into. But nobody's going to build houses for workers in an area where there are no businesses.
And breaking that impasse requires investment in different regions of the UK. But Diane says that really hasn't happened enough. The result is that one part of the country is doing really well. That's London and the South East. It attracts the lion's share of the money that's spent developing new businesses and building new houses. The rest of the country sees only a small fraction of that investment, which means that those areas are stagnating, and that's affecting the country's productivity.
We've had flatlining productivity since the mid-2000s. And while, again, compared to other countries, they've had slowdowns, we've just had a much worse slowdown than anybody else.
So if you take the G7, the group of seven wealthy nations, the UK's productivity growth rate is second to last. That's better than Italy's, but not as good as France. The UK used to be second only to the US.
And it's a system problem. And I can give you a list of things that have gone wrong. Low investment, very centralised government decision-making, really inadequate skills training, constant chopping and changing of policies, an economy that's much too weighted towards financial services and professional services at the expense of manufacturing.
And this is key. The UK is overwhelmingly a service economy. More than 80% of the country's wealth is generated by services like finance and business and tourism. Less than 20% comes from industry and less than 1% from agriculture.
Yes, and prior to Britain's departure from the European Union in 2020, also known as Brexit, there was a lot of talk about rebalancing the economy and developing industry, you know, once the UK was free of the shackles of Brussels.
That was the message.
That was the hope. But as it turns out, Brexit has so far only hampered Britain's ability to grow.
If you look at what's happened to trade for most of our comparator countries since the pandemic started easing, they've all seen their trade recover. And that hasn't happened here in the UK. And it's because of the new frictions that have been introduced with exporting to our biggest export markets and closest neighbours.
Brexit has driven up costs for businesses, which again has contributed to inflation as these costs get passed along to consumers. And it's the prospect of spiralling inflation that scares economists. Like everywhere, rising prices affect people on lower income disproportionately. Diane says that that, in turn, has a disproportionate effect on the economy.
People on lower incomes spend more than people on high incomes. Those of us who are very well off will have to save less, but we won't be spending a lot more to make up for it. So the aggregate level of growth will be reduced. But there's a longer-term impact too. What's happening to human capital, the biggest driver of economic growth over the long term? What about the impact that's going to have on public services? And they're already under pressure.
There are six candidates to replace Boris Johnson as Prime Minister of the UK. The challenges he or she will face on the economy are intimidating. Diane says those challenges are really a legacy of the inability of successive British governments to stick to consistent policies for more than a year or so at a time.
So we've had Conservative rule now for a number of years. But think about the number of policy changes we've had and things like energy policy or skills policies. The industrial strategy, as it was called, was launched by a Conservative government in 2017 and then ditched by a Conservative government 2 years later. It's no way to run a country.
Diane says that the UK has had such a seesaw of economic policies over the last 20 years that businesses have been unable to plan effectively. Their inability to predict what the commercial landscape will look like has had a chilling effect on their operations and on the wider economy.
There's growing evidence about the harm that uncertainty does to investment by businesses, some of which have got 50-year investment horizons. How can they do that when the politicians are setting strategies with regard to next week or tomorrow's tweets? It's just impossible.
The UK will have a new prime minister in a few weeks. I asked Diane if she was hopeful.
No. No, I'm not hopeful. I'm quite worried about the rest of this year.
Tell me why.
I suppose I'm worried because I can't see how we get sensible policies in the economic and political environment in which we find ourselves. It seems to me to be paving the way for more polarisation. And I don't think this will be just the UK. I think there are sort of wider global problems here. But I just can't see the route out of it at the moment.
Boris Johnson's successor will be announced on September 5th.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Jamella Huxtable with engineering support from Debbie Daughtry. It was fact-checked by Catherine Yang. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show. And The Indicator is a production of NPR. And Northern Ireland is still part of the United Kingdom, for now.
Hot geopolitical takes from The Indicator.